السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله. This is the 45th session of Sira Nabawiyya, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sira Khatib al-Nabiyyin, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And last week we ended off with after the Isra wal-Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to different hujjaj, different groups, different communities, nations from different tribes, and giving da'wah to them, looking for a new base for Islam. The people of Makkah had already shown that they will not believe, so the Prophet ﷺ was looking for a place outside of Makkah Mukarramah to shift to and continue the efforts of da'wah over there. So we know that the Prophet ﷺ, we talked about how he would go to the different groups in Hajj, and there would be a man who would follow him. He would be throwing pebbles at Rasulullah in front of everyone. That was one thing, try to humiliate the Prophet. Also, the other reason is so that people don't listen to the Prophet. So he would continue to do that, and who was that? That was the name of that person. Abu Lahab, barakallahu fiqh. That was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. So he would be going around, and whenever the Prophet ﷺ would enter into a tent and he would give da'wah, then Abu Lahab would follow into that tent after the Prophet ﷺ had left, and he would basically undo everything the Prophet ﷺ did. He would go and say negative things about him. He said, "I'm his uncle, I know him, he's crazy, he's this, he's that, na'udhu billah," and he would undo what the Prophet ﷺ had given, the da'wah that he had given. And this is pretty much what we see nowadays, where our children are coming to the masajid, we're giving them da'wah, they're coming to ta'aleem, they're coming to classes, Sunday school, maktab classes, and then when they go to school, or even the older kids going to high school and university, they're undoing the da'wah that's taking place in the masjid. So there's basically a battle between evil, good and evil taking place. So the Prophet ﷺ would continue doing this, and then eventually he started sneaking out at night, because in the daytime they would follow him around, they would see him going around. So he would start visiting the people at night. So 24/7 being ready for the sake of da'wah, going out and calling the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ started secretly going out under the cover of the night and meet the Hajjaj. On one such night, the Prophet ﷺ, as he's going, before I talk about that, the history of the Ansar. So we talked about the different tribes and their reactions to the da'wah. We talked about that last week. Now, the history of the Ansar. First of all, Ansar, the meaning of Ansar, it's called the helpers. Okay, the helpers, that's basically what you can translate into English. Nasir is a helper, someone who helps, and then Ansar, those who help. Then, now they're from the city of Yathrib, okay, which is currently known as Medina Manawara. The change came when the Prophet ﷺ moved to Medina Manawara. So it's called Yathrib, and there was basically three different communities living in Medina Manawara, or in Yathrib. You had the Jewish community, which was a huge community, and they were made up of three tribes, Banu Nadir, Banu Qaynuqa, and Banu Qurayza. These are the three main tribes of the Jewish tribes. And then you had the Mushrikeen of Yathrib, who were the Aus and Khazraj. These are the two tribes, Aus and Khazraj. So they were in Medina, or in Yathrib. One of the things we know, the Prophet ﷺ tells us in Sahih Hadith, that loving the Hubbul Ansar, loving the Ansar, having love in our hearts for Ansar, this is a sign of Iman. The Prophet ﷺ said in the Hadith, Ayatul Iman, Hubbul Ansar, wa Ayatul Nifaq, Bughdul Ansar. That loving the Ansar, having a love for them, when they are mentioned, when we hear about them in a bayan, in ta'aleem, when we come across their names, we have this love for the Sahaba, for the Ansar. That is a sign of Iman. And someone on the other hand, if they have, na'udhu billah, protect us all, if they have hatred towards the Ansar, then that is a sign of nifaq, of hypocrisy. Now the people who were in Yathrib, so you had the Jewish tribes who were living on their side, and then you had the Aus and Khazraj in Yathrib, and the Aus and Khazraj did not get along. They were, for years, they're always at each other. at each other's throats. And one of the things that happened a few years, it happened before the Prophet making migration to Medina, hijrah to Medina, was the Battle of Bu'ath. It's called the Battle of Bu'ath. And this is when the Aus and Khazraj got in such a fight that many of the leaders, many of the elders of the communities, both sides, were killed. So this is basically two factions, two tribes. They're fighting each other for years on end, and they're basically getting sick of this. And you can see how, in the masjid, in different masajid, where sometimes you have the elders, they're at each other's throats and they're fighting each other, and the young ones are just enjoying it and sitting back and relaxing. But then at a certain point, they get sick of it. They're like, why does this have to always happen? And then, alhamdulillah, you have the young guys come on the board, for example, and stuff, and they change things, inshallah. But you have the Battle of Bu'ath, which spanned over a number of years. Many of the leaders of both sides, Aus and Khazraj, were killed in this battle. Now, one of the things were living, there's two preconditions that basically helped the Ansar to accept Islam and bring the Prophet to Medina. And that one, number one, Battle of Bu'ath, the people were sick of all this fighting, all the killing, and they wanted peace. Everyone, that's fitrah. Everyone wants peace. So they're sick of it. They wanted some type of peace to come in between these two tribes. Another thing was living with the Yahud. Living with the Jewish tribes. They saw a type of, even though they were strayed from the path, but they still had the Tawheed. They still believed in one God, at least, the monotheistic religion. So they had some type of that. They had that exposure to Tawheed. Now, when I was talking about the Prophet going down around to the different tribes, this is the 10th year of Hijri. Okay? 10th year of the Prophet, 10th year of the mission. Okay? The Prophet is giving da'wah to different tribes. Now, he goes and he meets this small group of people from the Ansar, they were from Aus. And these guys, they had come to Makkah Mukarramah in search for an ally. They're looking for an ally, someone to join them in their cause, to help them basically fight the Khazraj and beat them and defeat them, basically. So they came, and one of the leaders of this group, his name was Abu al-Haysar Anas ibn Rafi', okay, from Aus, from the tribe of Aus. And he came to Mecca with some of his friends looking for an ally. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, he saw these young men, he saw these people there. So he went and he approached them and he started giving da'wah to them. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them, and this could mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him wahi, that he knew what they were looking for, that they're looking for an ally. So the Prophet actually goes to them and says, should I not give you something even better than what you are in search for, what you're looking for? And they said, what is that? And he gives them da'wah. He says, he talks about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed, and he talks about this. And one of them, by the name of Iyas ibn Mu'adh, one of these Ansar from the Aus tribe, Iyas ibn Mu'adh, he says to his friends, this makes sense. And this is very, indeed, this is better than what we're looking for. We're actually here looking for an ally so we can go back and fight. But this Tawheed, this, the oneness of Allah, and this deen that he is teaching, this is better than what we came for. Why don't we accept this? And the leader, Abu al-Haysar Anas, he takes some pebbles, and he actually throws it at Iyas, and he throws it, they say, either at his face, or they throw it at him, basically to silence him, that, just keep quiet. This is not what we're here for, and just keep quiet. So because being the leader and stuff, he basically shamed him, and he kept quiet. He didn't say anything. Now, one of the things that is mentioned in the Rawayat is that a few days after reaching back to Medina Munawwara, this same Iyas ibn Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, he got sick and he was about to die, and on his deathbed the people around him heard him saying the kalima, La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. He was doing adhkar, he was reading the kalima. So they said that he died as a Muslim. And this is before the Prophet, this is before Hijrah, this is way before the Bayatul Aqaba and everything else. So this is Iyas ibn Mu'adh. So maybe he went back to the Prophet ﷺ secretly and learned more about Islam and accepted Islam. Allahu a'lam how it happened, but he did die as a Muslim. Now, one of the things we know that after the 10th year. So you have the 11th year, the 12th year, and then the 13th year. These are the three consecutive years during Hajj where the Ansar met with the Prophet ﷺ, and that's where Islam, that's how Islam spread to Medina. So the first year, for example, in the 11th year, there was six people, men who became Muslim. Then in the following year, five of them came back with seven new converts. They came back and 12 of them made bay'ah to the Prophet. And that was when the first bay'ah, Bay'atul Aqaba, Al-Ula, we're going to talk about that inshallah today. That happened in the 11th year. The 12th year of the mission. And then the 13th year of the mission is when the second bay'ah took place. So the 11th year, going back, the 11th year when these six people from the Ansar, they're in Medina Munawwara, and the Prophet ﷺ, again, he's going around giving da'wah to different tribes. He meets with these six young men, or these six men, maybe some of them were actually older. So he meets with these six men from Ansar, and he gives them da'wah, and they actually recognize, they say to each other that this is that same Prophet. This is that same Prophet that the Prophet, that the Yahud, they keep on telling us about. They keep on promising and threatening us about. So the Jews of Medina, of Yathrib, they would continuously threaten the Aus and Khazraj. And they would say to them, anytime they had some kind of problem or beef or something between them, the Jews would say to the Aus and Khazraj that, إِنَّهُ قَدْ تَقَارَبَ زَمَانُ نَبِيٍّ يُبْعَثُ الْآنِ. He said that the time, they said that the time has come close where a Nabi is going to come out. A Nabi is going to be sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَقْتُلُكُمْ مَعَهُ قَتْلَ عَادٍ وَإِرْمٍ. They said, we will kill you guys with this, meaning we're going to join this Nabi and we're going to kill you guys, all you mushrikeen, all you guys, just like Irm and Ad, like these people were killed. So the Sahabi who's narrating this, he says, فَكُنَّ كَثِيرًا مَا نَسْمَ وَذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ. He said that we heard this often from them, and repeatedly. So it was in their ears. And when they heard the message of the Prophet ﷺ, they jumped to it. They said that this is that last Prophet. This is the one that the Jews are threatening us with. Now, those six men who embraced Islam, some of the names, you have Asad ibn Zurara, radiallahu anh, Auf ibn Harith, radiallahu anh, Rafi ibn Malik, Qutbah ibn Amir and Uqbah ibn Amir, radiallahu anhuma. I believe these are two brothers. And then the sixth one, some ulama say it was Jabir ibn Abdullah or Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So these are the six names, the people who were there in the 11th year. Now, these six people, they accepted Islam right there and then on the hands of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then they went back to Medina Munawwara and they started making the efforts of da'wah. Now, after 1 year passed, five of those six returned with seven new converts, making a total of 12. They came back in the 12th year of the mission, of the prophethood. And they met with the Prophet ﷺ during the Muslim of Hajj in a place called Masjid Aqaba or Masjid Al-Bay'ah. Okay, and this masjid actually, mashallah tabarakah, it still exists up to today. This is 1400 years ago old. The masjid is not 1400 years old. The masjid itself is about 1300 years old. It was made by Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. He built that masjid basically, and that was about, it was like 150 after Hijri. So it's about 1250 years old. The masjid is still there, and they keep on, you know, reconstructing and renovating it. So it's there, and alhamdulillah, I've been there many times. It's in Mina itself. It's in Mina itself, and remember, that's where Hajj takes place, in Mina. So the Prophet ﷺ met them at this place, and they later built a masjid on that place. So that was the Bay'atul Aqaba al-Ula, the first Bay'atul Aqaba, and this is in Mina, okay? Yeah, it's... I forgot exactly, but yeah, it's there. It's in Mina. It's close to Jamarat, yes. And you can still go. I think they close it off now, so you can't go inside. But they did close, and it's renovated, so it's like it's not like broken or anything like that. So, the 12th year of the mission, and these 12 again, like they came back. They give the bay'ah, and this bay'ah that they made, this pledge of allegiance that they made to the Prophet ﷺ. Another name of this pledge is actually called Bay'atul Nisa. It's called also the Pledge of the Women. And the reason why it's called the Pledge of the Women, they're all men, there's no women who gave the pledge, but the reason why it was called the Pledge of the Women is because what the allegiance or the pledge, you know, what was involved. It was basically, there was no pledge for fighting. That's why it was called Bay'atun Nisa. So there was a pledge to not do shirk, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one, to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not steal, not commit zina, not bury our daughters alive, not slander anyone. Okay, so all these things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took bay'ah from the Muslims. These 12 Muslims did the bay'atul Aqaba al-Ula. Okay, the first bay'atul Aqaba, and this is something that the ulama, they say that you could still even do today, even you know, it's from the sunnah, that you give bay'ah. For example, when the Khulafa Rashideen, when they would come in, the Sahaba themselves went to Abu Bakr Siddiq Radhan, and one by one they would give bay'ah to Abu Bakr Radhan, then to the next Khalifa, then next Khalifa. Also, you can give bay'ah to your local imam, for example, or your ulama that you trust, someone who is someone who's knowledgeable, you know, mashallah, like Qari Elias, or you know, someone, you have these giants, mashallah, these ulama now still with us, and we can go and give bay'ah to them, and basically bay'ah to follow the deen. That's basically what the bay'ah involves. So this is the bay'ah that they made. Again, it has nothing involved with fighting, so that's why it's called bay'atun nisa. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, when these 12 people made bay'ah, the Prophet ﷺ sent two sahaba with these 12 men back to Medina to teach them the religion. One of them was Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu. What is he famous for? Anybody remember? Abdullah ibn Maktum. Abdullah, the son of the mother of a blind man. I'm sorry? Surah Abasa, barakallahu fiqh. So Surah Abasa, okay? Surah Abasa, where the Prophet ﷺ, he was giving da'wah in Makkah Mukarramah. He had many of the leaders of Quraysh around him, and he is giving them da'wah. And Abdullah ibn Maktum, radhiallahu anhu, he comes, he was blind, and he came, he didn't notice that the Prophet ﷺ was busy giving da'wah. So he's calling out, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. He's walking towards the Prophet ﷺ, and he doesn't notice that there's people around and the Prophet ﷺ. He had some question that he wanted to ask the Prophet ﷺ. So he's coming, and the Prophet ﷺ, all he did was he frowned. And the reason was because I'm busy here. You could have came back at another time. I'm busy, I'm doing da'wah. And because of that, the whole Surah Abasa was revealed on this occasion, telling the Prophet ﷺ that man, that Sahabi, and again, this is going to be in the Quran up to the end of times, where this Sahabi is mentioned in the Quran, how he was a person of taqwa, and he came to ask the Prophet ﷺ with a question. And these other people who don't have any, they don't really have any realistic, they're not leaning towards Islam, and they don't really want to listen about Islam, and you're worried more about them than this man. So Abdullah ibn Maktum, he's sent by the Prophet ﷺ to go to Medina, even though he's blind. We see again how the Sahaba, even if they were disabled, even if they're blind, they're always doing da'wah. They're always doing the efforts of deen and working for deen. So that was one of them. The other one is Mus'ab ibn Umair. Mus'ab ibn Umair. And Mus'ab, a little bit of background about him, as he was actually one of the richest of the youth of Makkah. Okay, of Makkah Mukarramah. So one of the richest kids there. His mother was very extremely wealthy, and I believe there was only him, and I think he had one brother and maybe one sister. I have to look it up. I'm not sure, but they had a lot of wealth, and she was spoiling her son. So Mus'ab then grew up very pampered. He had, like they would say, for example, when they would walk in the streets of Medina, if he would pass by, even like 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, if someone walked, they would know that Mus'ab had passed through this street because of the smell of atar, the smell of cologne, that he had such expensive cologne that he would adorn himself with, that they would smell it even 5-10 minutes away after he had left. This beautiful attar, they would smell that. Also the clothes that he had, the clothes he was wearing, he would wear it once and then he would throw it away or give it away or whatever he would do. He had so much clothes, he had so much, you know, jewelry and whatnot. So Mus'ab ibn Umair lived this pampered life, and he became Muslim. When he became Muslim, his mother actually got so upset, she locked him up, and she said, "I will not spend on you anymore, I will not give you anything." And then he eventually snuck out, he got away, and he actually lived after that in a very poor lifestyle. And the same Sahaba, they would see him later on in Medina, walking around in the city of Medina with ripped clothes. And they would, the Prophet ﷺ would cry seeing him, saying that, look at the difference that he has, look at the sacrifice that he went through, leaving all that good life. His mother said, "Leave your religion, I'll give you your money back. I'll give you that allowance, I'll give you that, you know, that Lamborghini again, I'll give you this again, I'll give you that again." So she's saying that to him, but he does not want to leave. He's ready to give up anything for the religion, and he did not go back to that lifestyle. So these two Sahaba are sent with these Ansar to Medina Munawwara to give da'wah. And Asad ibn Zurar, he was one of those that I mentioned, their names, one of the early six. And he was one of the leaders of Medina. So the Prophet, Mus'ab ibn Umair Radhan is giving da'wah with Asad ibn Zurar. So they're sitting and they have a halaqa of ta'allum, halaqa of dars or halaqa of hadith, and he's teaching them Quran, he's teaching them hadith. And Asad ibn Zurara Radhan, he's sitting there with him. He's basically protecting Mus'ab. He's like the host of Mus'ab Radhan. He's sitting next to him and they're giving da'wah to the people. Now Sa'd ibn Mu'adh Radhan, he was the leader of the Khazraj tribe. And he was a cousin of Asad. Okay? So he tells one of his friends, Usayd ibn Hudayr Radhan, he says that, "Why don't you go?" He was really upset that he saw Mus'ab Radhan and Asad Radhan giving da'wah. So he says to his friend Usayd, he said, "Why don't you go and stop them? For verily, if he wasn't my cousin, I would go and stop him, but I can't, I don't wanna do that because of the family relations." So Usayd ibn Hudayr Radhan, he gets up. He takes his spear with him, he's walking, and he goes to this gathering, and he says to them that, you know, "We want you to get out of here. Just get up and leave. Stop giving your talk, stop, you know, deceiving our people, and we want you to leave." Mus'ab Radhan turns to him, and he says to him that, you know, "Why don't we make a deal? Just sit down for a few minutes and listen to what I have to say. If you don't like what I have to say, then I'll get up and I'll leave. I'll go somewhere else, or I'll leave. Okay, and if you like what we say, then you can, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. You can choose what you want to do." So Usayd ibn Hudayr, he says that this is fair, okay, and he takes his spear, puts it in the ground, and he sits down, and he starts to listen to Mus'ab Radhan. Now Mus'ab Radhan, as he's giving him da'wah, you could see the face of Usayd changing. He's starting to believe. The iman is entering into his heart. So Usayd ibn Hudayr, he actually becomes Muslim right then and there. He asks him, "How can I enter into this religion?" He says, "Go and make ghusl, and then go and make ghusl and change your clothes and come back, and you can accept Islam." He does the shahada, and he says, now as he's going back to Sa'd ibn Mu'adh recognizes from far away, he looks at his face, he says, "This guy has come back with a different face. He's changed, something's changed about him." So Usayd comes back, and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh asks him, Radhan, he asks him that, "What happened? What's going on? What did you make them disperse? Did you, you know, break up the gathering?" And he says, "No, actually, what he says makes sense." And this infuriated him even more. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he gets up. He goes, "Okay, I guess I gotta take care of this myself." So he goes to that gathering, and he starts saying to them that, basically, you know, if you weren't my cousin, I would have just beat you guys, I would have done this, I would have done that, but get up and leave. We don't want you to deceive us anymore, or deceive our people anymore. Same thing, Mus'ab Radhan offers him, "Sit down, listen to us. If you don't like what I'm going to say, I'll get up and I'll leave. If you like what I say, then you can choose whatever you want to do." Same thing happens, he sits down, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh Radhan, Sahabi, listens to the Mus'ab Radhan giving da'wah, he also becomes Muslim. He says, how can I become Muslim? He says, go take a ghusl bath, come back and you can say the shahada. He does that and he becomes Muslim. Now, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, one of the things is that when he was approaching, Asad ibn Zurar Radhan, he actually says, he whispers to Mus'ab Radhan, he says that this is a leader. This is the leader of his people. So, give him da'wah the best you can. The best you can get da'wah that you can, give him da'wah. Because if he becomes Muslim, then many people will follow. And that's exactly what happened. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, right when he became Muslim, again, they didn't rest. Just like Abu Bakr Siddiq Radhan, right when he became Muslim, the first day, boom, he brings 6 out of the 10, Ashara Mubashara, and they become Muslim. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh Radhan, he becomes Muslim. He goes to his tribe. And he says to them that, what do you guys think of me? What do you guys say about me? And they say that, you know, we swear by Allah, you are the best amongst us. You are our leader and we love you and you're the best amongst us. He says, okay, then follow what I'm going to say. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to look at any of you until each and every one of you have become Muslim. So he basically is saying to them, become Muslim or I'm going to stop. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And they said by nightfall, every single one of that tribe had become Muslim except for one man. So you see how the da'wah that was taking place and Mus'ab radhiyallahu anhu giving da'wah to the people and the people of the Ansar, 26 minutes, sorry. Okay, so the people of Ansar becoming Muslim and there. And this shows us the importance of ta'lim, the halaqat of knowledge, the halaqat of ta'lim and learning and you know, seeking knowledge. That Mus'ab radhiyallahu anhu, he set up this halaqa, and the people were coming and they're becoming Muslim. And then when he went and invited, for example, Usayd ibn Hudayr was sent there, and just the environment of that gathering. And remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago, that every single gathering, the majalis of dhikr, there are angels that are flooding to us right now. They're around us. We can't see them, but they're here and they're stacking up on top of each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that I make you witness that I have forgiven all of us here. So Allah, you know, forgive our sins, inshallah. So this is the effect of the halaqat of dhikr, the halaqat of ta'lim, of learning and seeking knowledge, that the people, the sakina comes down. The rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down. And people, when they come, even if they are enemies of Islam, when they come and sit in that gathering, their hearts are affected and they will, inshallah, become Muslim. Allah give us all hidayah, inshallah. So, and also, yeah, another thing to think about. Mus'ab ibn Umayr Radhan is one of the first, him and Abdullah ibn Ubb Maktum Radhan Anhumah, they're both sent to Medina Manawra, and they're giving da'wah to the people of Ansar. And now Sa'd ibn Mu'adh Radhan, Asad ibn Zurar, and Usayd ibn Hudayr Radhan, they're all becoming Muslim, and through them the whole tribe becomes Muslim. So whose account is that going to go into? Mus'ab ibn Umayr Radhan. All the Ansar that became Muslim that day, they're going to go into the account of Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet says, when he tells us, "Addal al-khair kafa'ilihi," or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the one who guides towards something or points towards good, then whoever does that, then that person will get the reward of it. So we ask Allah to give us the tawfiq and to do that. Now, there was Abu Hurairah radhan, he would frequently mention, he would ask a riddle to the people, his students, to the people gathered around him, and he would say, "Kana yaqul," so he would say to them, "Hadithuni an rajulin dakhala al-jannah lam yusalli qat." He says, tell me a name of a person, of a rajul, a man, who has entered into Jannah and he never prayed a single prayer, never prayed a single salah. Okay, and he would ask this question, and the riddle was actually that same person was, his name was Amr ibn Thabit, radiallahu anh, his nickname was Usayrim, and this was that one person. You know, I said one person did not accept Islam that day from the tribe of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, radiallahu anh. His name was Amr ibn Thabit, radiallahu anh. He did not accept Islam that day. About 3 years, almost like 4 years later, 4 or 5 years later, when the Battle of Uhud took place. He delayed it up to then. He did not become Muslim. The morning of the Battle of Uhud, he accepted Islam with the Prophet ﷺ, and he joined the Battle of Uhud, and he was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. He never prayed one single salah, and he has entered Jannah. So this is that's a man from Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, from his tribe.
What's the name again?
Amr ibn Thabit. And his name was, his nickname was Usaydim. So, I'm sorry?
What's Usaydim?
Usaydim, I believe it's from... what's it called? The Sodom, like it's like a horse, like a knight or a horse. I believe it's from that, like taken from that. I have to look that up, but that, I think it's from that. So, no problem, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. So one more thing I want to mention before I end, inshallah, that the markaz in Medina Munawwara. So this place where Mus'ab ibn Umair radhiyallahu anhu was giving da'wah, it's in a place called Banu Zafar, and it was 5-10, maybe 5-minute walk from my house where I was living in Medina. It's called Masjid Noor. Okay, you had Mulana Saeed Ahmed Khan Saab, rahimahullah. He was a famous da'i. He was living in Medina Munawwara, and he actually set up a markaz in that date palm field where Mus'ab radhiyallahu anhu had given da'wah, where he was giving da'wah. So it's called Masjid Noor, and that was the markaz of da'wah for many years. They were giving da'wah from that place. I haven't seen the masjid. The masjid does not exist anymore, so I'm not sure when it fell or what happened exactly. But that was in Medina Munawwara. It's very close to the Haram, actually. If you go from Baqi side, so there's a ring road around Baqi and around the Haram. So where the Baqi road ends, if you cross the signal, walk over, in that area, there's an empty piece of land in the front. And actually, that's where the Qisas would take place. So once in a while, if there was someone who had murdered, someone who had committed zina after marriage or something, or done something else, they would actually cut off the head in that area. Okay, and you go beyond that, go away from the road, go maybe 2-3 minute walk, 5 minute walk inside. That's where the date palm grove is, and that's where the masjid was, Masjid Noor. So, and one more thing, I'll end here, inshallah. The establishment of the Jummah prayer. So Asad ibn Zurara radhiyallahu anhu, he actually was the first one to establish the Jummah prayer and lead the Jummah prayer. This is before the Prophet ﷺ even arrived in Medina Munawwara. And Ka'b ibn Malik radhiyallahu anhu, another of the Sahaba, who was the one famous one from the Ghazwa Tabuk, he would remember As'ad radhiyallahu anhu, and he would make dua for maghfirat for him. He would make dua for him, and he would say, his son asked him that, why are you making dua for him? He says that he was the first one to lead us in Jum'ah Salah. So he used to remember that, and he was saying that, you know, remembering the old days, and he would make dua for As'ad ibn Zurara radhiyallahu anhu. So I'll stop there, inshallah, and next week we will continue on with the second Bay'atul Aqaba. And then, inshallah, after that, we're going to be going on to the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ to Medina Munawwara, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alayka.